Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show goes now. It is the Fan Upstate. Robin the Great One Lonzo with you. Tuesday morning, rain across the area this AM, so please be very careful when you get up and get headed to work. Be careful on the roadways. They're going to be slick, and they're going to stay slick for just a little while. All right, slick? That was dumb. I hate myself. Be careful while you're out there on the roadways this morning because the weather is going to stay nasty for a hot minute. Seattle Mariners pitcher, starting pitcher Logan Gilbert went 7 shutout innings last night. Good pitching outlet. Not the story. The story was not that. The story was that after Logan Gilbert got yanked from the game for going 7 shutty, Logan Gilbert immediately disappeared from the dugout. And there were questions, where'd he go? What's he doing? He got yanked after 7 and disappeared. Was he mad he got pulled? A lot of pitchers get upset if they're working a 7-inning shutout. Coach, I got 6 more outs. I got it in me. Let me finish this thing. Let me throw the shutout. Let me throw the full game shutout. And then it was revealed where he went. He did not disappear because he was upset with the coach. He did not disappear because he was upset about getting yanked. He did not disappear because he was squabbling with the teammate in the dugout. He didn't disappear because he was upset with himself. No, no. Logan Gilbert disappeared because Logan Gilbert, though, went straight into the clubhouse, fired up the PS5 in the player rec room, and jumped on EA Sports College Football 25. My man was running his dynasty mode before the game was over. Could not wait to get back on the sticks.
I usually don't go against a gamer because I game a lot, but the fact that you don't care about your team enough to stay out there and root them on and you want to go back and do things about you, it's just another testament about the individuality of baseball.
I mean, you can't like the NBA if you're mad about individuality in baseball. But, I mean, here's the thing.
If you do that in basketball, if you do that in football, if you do that in any other sport, you're going to get labeled something. But why is it okay in baseball?
I don't know that it is okay. I think Logan Gilbert is going to get it in the media today. And for the record, justifiably so, because everything you just said is correct. Stick in the dugout, holla for the boys, try to give them a little gas, a little energy, because if nothing else, if my starting pitcher goes out there and gives me 7 shutout innings, you kind of want to win one for the Gipper in that spot, don't you? You kind of want to go out there and go, my man put on a performance tonight. 7 shutout, guy was ripping through the lineup. I kind of want to win this game for him because he earned it, right? I need to make sure that he can stick that W tag on the end of the name. Kind of need to make sure that he gets to bump that record up, the first number, the left side of the dash in that record up by 1 if he goes 7 shutty, for sure. So, like, stick in the dugout, be with the boys, be their flag. Right? You go back and you look at old war movies, and there's always the guy that charges in the battle. He doesn't have a weapon. He's just waving the flag. But that guy might be the most important guy on the battlefield, because when things start going bad, but he jumps up in the front of the line and starts waving that flag, it gives you a symbol, a representation of what it is that you are fighting for in that moment. And so you stop thinking about yourself and you start thinking about what you are fighting for in that moment. Be that for the boys, Logan Gilbert. But then there's this little part of me, though, in the back of the brain, that's like, yeah, but if you're going to leave, that's a pretty good reason. Like, if you're going to leave, the fact that you got a dynasty match scheduled, the fact that you need to go put one in the record books in dynasty mode, if you're going to bail out of something, I mean, I get it.
Sounds a little bit like addiction. I'm just saying.
I mean, maybe.
That you got to have your fix. So you got to get back there, and it's starting to interfere with your job. Might need to go get some help.
You know, I had a conversation like that not terribly long ago with, I'll just say, somebody the same conversation because I had a game night scheduled with the boys, right? We were getting on. We were going to play Sea of Thieves, a little pirate game, right? We're going to jump on and be pirates
for
a minute.
Was this last night?
No, it was a couple nights ago. I wasn't going to put a timestamp on it.
Because you were on there last night. I'm just saying.
I was on there last night. Just, we were definitely sailing the high seas.
Not stalking, but every once in a while, just check and see what your friends are doing. I mean, you know, maybe you want to jump into a game with them. So.
You should have. We had room.
Yeah.
Had one more on the brig.
I've never played it. I would mess you guys up.
Nah. Neither of two of the other dudes out of the three I was playing with. It's fine. So we were playing like...
I'd be the guy that would fire the cannon when he shouldn't, you know, that type of thing.
We were playing not too long ago, and I will acknowledge I stayed up probably dramatically later than I should have being a pirate, and the lady friend was like, dude, you need to go to bed. And here's the thing. She's right. I absolutely did. But we were like 85% of the way of finding the treasure chest we needed to find to turn in to make money so that I could buy my own ship, right? I can't walk away now. The boys are in the zone. We're in the zone. I'm like, you're right. I do need to come to bed, but I can't yet. And she's like, I think you're addicted. And it was in that moment that I went, I am. But leave me alone because there's a skeleton ship attacking me right now. And I've got to, if we get sunk, I lose my treasure. I can't lose my treasure. I got too much on board. All right. I can't lose my treasure. I need you to leave me alone right now. And she goes, yeah, I think my point. And then walked away. And I'm like, yeah, no, I agree. You're right. I have an issue. I acknowledge it. But I don't want to stop. This isn't an I can't stop. It's an I don't want to stop. So what I'm saying is, I kind of understand Logan Gilbert in this moment, right? I kind of get it. Like, yeah, be out there. Give the boys a symbol of what they're rooting for. You just gave them seven shutty. But at the same time, I'd argue, he did go seven shutout innings. I think he's earned a little bit of a break from baseball in that moment. My man went 80-some-odd pitches of seven shutout ball. I think he's earned the opportunity to pop on the PS5 and try to get, and I zoomed in, the Knowles into the playoffs in his dynasty mode. All right, it is 7:07. You got 52-ish, some odd, whatever, minutes, till you got to get to the office, till you got to start work. But then you get that first break. Then you get to talk some sports. Then you get to have a little fun. And if you're going to talk sports at the office, you need to know what's going on. And if you need to know what's going on, you need this. It's the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers this morning. When you do, this is what you will be discussing. Let us begin with item number one. Your preseason AP Top 25 College Football poll is out, ladies and gentlemen. And to the surprise of exactly and precisely nobody, it is the Georgia Bulldogs that are on top. Georgia received 46 first place votes. They outpaced second place Ohio State by 31. They got 15. Oregon received one first place vote and was labeled third overall to start the season. The rest of your top 10 stacks up like this. Texas 4, Alabama 5, 6, Ole Miss 7, Notre Dame 8, Penn State, Michigan is number 9, and Florida State opens at number 10. Clemson did get a top 25 ranking. They will begin the season at number 14. That is behind LSU at 13, Utah at number 12, Missouri at number 11. Tennessee is one spot behind Clemson at number 15. They are stacked up with Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Miami, and the Colt in the top 20, Arizona, Kansas, USC, NC State, and Iowa. Wrap up your top 25, and if that sounds SEC/Big Ten heavy, it's because it is predominantly the SEC and the Big Ten comprising your top 25. You have inside of the top 10 one ACC school in Florida State, one independent school in Notre Dame. Everybody else comes out of the Big Ten or the SEC. 8 of the top 10. Sounds more impressive if you say 80% of the top 10 made up of Big Ten and Southeastern Conference schools. And again, it gets even more ridiculous if you head down into the top 25. You do pick up a couple more ACC squads in Clemson, in Miami, and in NC State. You pick up a couple of Big 12 squads. You got Utah in there. You got Okie State in there. You got Kansas in there. But everybody else, the SEC and the Big Ten. Coming up in the next segment, we'll talk a little bit about some of the things that jumped off the page or didn't to me in the AP Top 25 when it was released yesterday. Let's get to item number two. The L streak for the Atlanta Braves has come to its conclusion. Well, I say L streak. They did lose only one. They dropped, or they picked up one against the Rockies, dropped the opener. So two out of the three losses, that is coming off of a three-game sweep at the hand of the Brewers and a four-game 2-2 split with the Miami Marlins. But the Braves got back on the winning side of things. It wasn't pretty. The Braves had four hits through 10 innings of baseball last night, but they do get away from the Giants. 1-0 was your finish, while the Bravos had just four hits. Once again, the reason the Braves have been anything close to competitive is pitching. And that happened again last night. It happened again last night when Chris Sale went seven innings of just three-hit ball. He K'd 12 in the matchup, but he did not earn the win. Raisel Iglesias did. He pitched the ninth and the 10th innings, did so surrendering no hits, no runs, no walks, and four strikeouts. Iglesias is now 2-1. Chris Sale did not earn the win, but probably deserved it after seven innings of three-hit ball. Blake Snell was very, very good last night for the San Francisco Giants. Blake Snell ended up going off for 6.1 innings, gave up just three hits to the Atlanta Braves, but the Braves needed just the walk-off, just the go-ahead single from Travis d'Arnaud that scored the ghost runner Orlando Arcia from second base. He actually was on third base. He got knocked around on a single, just a shot ahead. But d'Arnaud credited with the game-winning RBI in the top of the 10th. The Giants could not find the matcher in the bottom of the 10th, and the Atlanta Braves get the win in that spot. With that win, the Bravos now find themselves back in second place in the NL East, now a full game clear of the New York Mets in the wild card race. The Atlanta Braves now find themselves in a wild card position, the final wild card position, third place in the wild card races, one game clear of the Mets, 2.5 games clear of the Cardinals, and said Giants that they knocked off last night. Let's go to item number three. I got to tell you, this is an interesting spot for us to be in here, Zoe, because the Olympics are over. We're 11 days and 4 hours and 45 minutes and 35 seconds, but who's counting, away from the start of college football season with a week zero kickoff at noon next Saturday between FSU and Georgia Tech in Dublin, Ireland. So there's not a lot going on. But item number three, contested. Not going to spend a lot of time on it because I'm going to be real. I don't think a lot of you care, but I do. USA Gymnastics has been lobbying to make sure that their gymnast, Jordan Chiles, did not lose the bronze medal that she was awarded in the floor exercise at the Paris Olympics. The Olympic Committee made an adjustment after the medals were awarded that decreased the degree of difficulty after a protest from Romania, whose gymnast checked in fourth in the floor exercise, decreased the difficulty of the routine performed by Jordan Chiles enough that the Olympic Committee decided that they were going to remove the bronze medal from Jordan Chiles and award it to the Romanian gymnast. Team USA Gymnastics filed their appeal, said that it should not have been adjusted, that Jordan Chiles should be able to keep her bronze medal. The International Gymnastics Federation said that they would respect the court's decision and elevate Anna Barbosu of Romania to third. The IOC confirmed the ruling, announcing that it would reallocate the bronze medal from Jordan Chiles to Romania's Anna Barbosu, meaning that the American medal count down by one after they lost a bronze and the Romanian medal count up by one. Again, I know most of you don't care, but I do, because homegirl put it on the line for 4 years to be ready for this event, won the medal, and then got told, yeah, but actually you didn't. And that's kind of a bummer. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute, we start breaking down the AP Top 25 poll. Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, and Alabama are your top five. A couple of things stood out to me. A couple of things did not. We'll tell you what those were when we come back. I am Rob Brown, the great Milonzo and the ones and twos. Be careful on the roads out there, kids. It's wet. I don't want to report on any wrecks. I don't want Bill Brooks to have to do extra work in the traffic report today, all right? Make Bill's life easy. Be careful. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. We are taking a look at the AP Top 25. As we mentioned, not a bunch of surprises at the top. It breaks down thusly. Iowa checks in at number 25, just behind NC State at 24, USC 23. 22 is Kansas, 21 Arizona. Number 20 is the Colt, Texas A&M. Miami cracks the top 20 at number 19, Kansas State 18. Okie State locks in 17, Oklahoma 16. UT, that would be the Tennessee version, is at number 15. Clemson ranks 14th in the preseason AP Top 25, just behind 13 LSU, number 12 Utah, 11 Mizzou, and just inside the top 10 is FSU. Michigan is number 9, Penn State 8, 7, Notre Dame 6, Ole Miss. Your top 5 goes Alabama, Texas, Oregon, Ohio State, and number 1 overall, the Bulldogs of Georgia. That is how they stack up. So, look through last night and recognized a couple of things. Number one, Lonzo, I think this is the day that we can forever and always retire the phrase officially Power Five. Now, we already knew that because the Pac-2 isn't the Pac-12 anymore. So we already kind of knew.
Does Pac-2 have anyone ranked?
No, I don't believe either of their both schools are in the AP Top 25. What we can say for sure and certain is that Power 5 is dead. Why? Because there's four conferences represented in the top 25. The ACC has four teams. The Big 12 has five teams. The Big 10 has six teams. And the Southeastern Conference has nine teams. But wait, Rob Brown, said the nerds. That's four conferences, but only 24 spots. That is correct, because inside the top 10, you find the University of Notre Dame, which, of course, plays its football as an independent. The Pac-12's only two teams, Washington State and Oregon State, neither present in the poll, meaning that for the first time, the AP Top 25 has just four conferences overall in the rankings. Number two. You can blame it on bias, or you can blame it on reality. But the Southeastern Conference, once again, reigns supreme. Nine teams inside the top 25 for the SEC. That gets a little bit more impressive if you dig in. Because of the nine teams, four of the top six are SEC teams. Georgia, Texas, Alabama, and number six, Ole Miss. Of the top six, four of them are from the SEC. If you stretch that out to the top five, you add four more. Or to the top 25, you add four more. Mizzou, LSU, Tennessee, and Oklahoma at number 11, 13, 15, and 16, respectively. I mean, it kind of is what it is. Again, do I believe that there is a little inherent bias towards the SEC? Yes, I do. I always have. And I think last year proved that, as far as I am concerned. I know there are some of you that disagree. I don't care if you disagree. I think last year proved there is an inherent bias. But regardless of it, if it is justified or if it is biased, the reality is the Southeastern Conference once again dominates the college football landscape. I got a little curious last night, and there is a Twitter account that I love called the Sickos Committee on Twitter. Sickos Committee just basically goes and finds all the weird stuff in college football, and then as adults do, tweets about it. It's one of my favorite pastimes. But Sickos Committee on X decided to do the yeoman's work last night and to take a gander and put together the top 12 playoff teams if this was the final poll of the season. It may shock you, but it is not. There is a lot of football between here and the time that we get that poll. But I thought it was interesting nonetheless. If the top 25 that we got yesterday was the final poll of the season, here's how your playoff bracket would lay out. Great one. We would open with four games. Boise State would get into the playoffs. They would be the number 12 seed. They would travel to Eugene to take on the Oregon Ducks. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish would get in, but as a 9 seed, remember, they cannot be conference champions. That's the price they pay for remaining independent. They would travel down to the Grove to take on Ole Miss in an 8-9 matchup. Michigan would get in an at-large position. The number 11 seed, they would travel down to Austin to take on Texas. And then number 10 Penn State would travel to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama. The winner of the Boise State-Oregon matchup would move on to take on the winner of the Big 12 Utah. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish versus Ole Miss. The winner of that game would then take on the SEC's champion, number 1, Georgia. The winner of Michigan and Texas would then match up with the winner of the ACC, Florida State. And the winner of Penn State, Alabama, would match up with the winner of the Big Ten, the Ohio State University, could have a Big Ten matchup in round number 2 of the playoffs. You could have an SEC matchup in round number 2 if Ole Miss knocked off Notre Dame, could get the Rebels and the Dawgs in round number 2. It's interesting. Because I will tell you a great one. Of these first round matchups, there is only one, and I'm including the second round matchups, no matter who wins the first round matchups. There's only one game that I think's a dog walk, and I think that's Boise State at Oregon. I think Oregon would come into that game as probably like a 10-point favorite over the Broncos. But I think Notre Dame Ole Miss would be fun. I think Michigan Texas would be phenomenal. I think Penn State Alabama in Tuscaloosa could be a lot of fun. I think Alabama wins that game because James Franklin can't win the big game to save his ass. Then I look at the backup jobs. If Boise State knocked off Oregon, suddenly they are the Cinderellas of the playoffs. Boise State at Utah. If they don't, the Oregon Ducks taking on a former conference mate would be fun. Notre Dame Ole Miss, I don't care which one of those two teams takes on Georgia. Remember, second round quarterfinal games are at neutral sites. Those are at bowl game sites. Michigan or Texas versus FSU could be very interesting. Penn State at Alabama versus Ohio State could be very interesting. Here's what I'll say. A lot of discussion about whether or not the Big 12, excuse me, the Playoff 12 would provide interesting matchups. Obviously, the preseason poll is not going to look like the final poll of the season will, great one. But if those were the 12 teams, I got to say it's provided some pretty compelling matchups.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited. I think that would be really cool. So hopefully it's going to be equally as compelling when we get to the end of the year, and it probably will. Some of those names will drop out for sure, but others will make their way in. And we've been wanting it. We get it. We finally get it. We're just a few months away from seeing what that's going to be. And as quickly as time's going by, it'll be like day after tomorrow. So, I mean, looking forward to it.
Finally, last thing that jumped out. Michigan is the reigning, defending, undisputed college football national champions. And yet, Michigan dropped all the way down to number 9, one spot ahead of a Florida State team that was considered not good enough to make the playoffs despite being a 13-0 Power 5 conference champ last year. Two spots behind a Penn State team that has beat them consistently over the years. Three spots behind an Ole Miss team that has done what? Anybody? Bueller? Nobody?
You know Michigan dropped so low because that powerhouse J.J. McCarthy is no longer there.
Powerhouse J.J. McCarthy. Of course, the man who is going to, without a doubt, end up leading the Minnesota Vikings to playoff glory.
Mm-hmm.
I have zero faith in J.J. McCarthy, just so we're clear. I don't believe in J.J. McCarthy in the NFL at all.
He throws really good to the other team so far.
It's been a bit of a trip on the struggle bus for J.J. So there you have it. There's some initial glances. There is actually one more I noticed. Despite the fact that the fans, because they're dumb, have been dropping mucho dinero on Colorado as a playoff appearer this year, they received across the entire AP voting base, they received 1 point in the AP Top 25 voting. 1 point. Which means that the fans are still on board for the Neon Deion show. But those of us that know ball do not believe in the Buffs anymore. I found that compelling after Deion's contentious press conference this weekend.
Coach Prime.
He ain't my coach. Best you'd get is maybe Prime. But he got no votes. He got one vote. And that's it. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Fan upstate. Texter just asked a spectacular question. Could we get this year, could we get our Tuesday morning college football ranking release read by Bill Brooks? Could we get Bill to do the AP Top 25 poll for us every week? Checking it. I can't even pretend to emulate the legend that is Bill Brooks.
See, I don't know that I could get Bill Brooks to do it, but I know I could get Roger Davis to do it.
Roger Davis would be a great read.
Yeah.
I think what we do.
They have similar styles, and Roger is more than willing to help out. Maybe we talk to Roger Davis.
The issue we're going to have, I think, is that the AP poll is usually released on Tuesdays, about the time we're going off the air. So by the time that Wednesday's show rolls around and we get the opportunity to address that poll week in and week out, it'll be old news. So I think a wonderful way to keep things fresh is to, instead of Robin Lonzo with their, let's let's say, phenomenal radio voices, but just not Bill Brooks or Roger Davis.
You could say that our voices are award-winning. You could say that.
I mean, you can, you because say, they say are.
Three times if you want. I mean, you know.
Because they are.
Roger Davis, more than willing. I
think that
you.
Might be the play. I think we see if we can get Bill Brooks and or Roger Davis, maybe both, because I'll play them back to back if you get both of them.
Dude, I can mix it. A little Roger Bill mix up?
I think maybe that's how we introduce the AP Top 25 poll every single week, is we have a couple of icons. Like, I can try to emulate Roger Davis and Bill Brooks by doing my deep, cool guy announcer voice, but let's be real. It's not the same.
Because both of them are seasoned, and you're not quite to that point of seasoning.
I'm not old yet.
Well, you said that, not me. We're going to go with seasoned.
You were thinking it. And that's fair, because it's true. Hey, speaking of college football, do want to remind you that Furman football, actually, I don't know if I'm in reminding or enlightening, but no, either way.
I think you're saying it for the first time, so yeah.
Furman Football Fan Fest taking place this Saturday. Gates open at noon. The Furman Paladin football team will be on the field for scrimmage at 1 p.m. Ladies and gentlemen, it is your opportunity to be introduced to the 2024 Furman Paladin football team. It is this Saturday, gates at noon. Team takes for the field for scrimmage at 1 p.m. They will have concession stands open, so you can go grab yourself that first football glizzy of the season. All right?
You should go to FanFest, but I suggest you don't go up and say, "Hi, can I have a glizzy?"
Why?
Because you might get smacked.
Or, hear me out. You get that first football glizzy. That first Furman football paladin glizzy of the season. They're also going to do a post-scrimmage autograph session with the team down on the field. So not only will you be introduced to the 2024 Furman paladin football team, but on top of that, you'll get to actually be introduced to the 2024 Furman paladin football team. And oh, by the way, in case none of that was compelling enough to get you out to Paladin Stadium coming up this Saturday for Furman Football Fan Fest. Wonderful use of alliteration there by the Dens. Not only is all that taking place, but here's the best part. It's free. It's free. You just go. Just go. You just go. You park. You walk on in to Paladin Stadium. You're going to get to watch the boys in purple and white lay it down on the field for a couple of minutes. Then you're going to get to go down on the field, introduce yourself to the team, let the team introduce themselves to you, both metaphorically and quite literally, and get your opportunity to go eyes on with the Dens. F you one time, F you two times, F you three times, F you all the time. Furman Paladin Football Fan Fest this Saturday, August 17th, gates at noon, team on the field for scrimmage at 1, concessions open, post-game scrimmage autographs with the field down on the team, and it is all free with our friends at Furman. By the way, I don't think I've said this yet.
With the team down on the field, by the way.
What'd I say? With the field down on the team?
You did. Yeah.
I mean, what do you want? I've only done this 17 years.
I'm just trying to help before the text line. They're probably already getting ready anyway.
Welcome to my life. Last week, you know what I got to do last week? Last week, great one, I got to put on a high-vis vest and a hard hat and go inside Timmins Arena and see the upgrades they're making.
Are they really called high-vis?
Yeah.
Because they have the glow in the dark. Okay.
Yeah, and
all
they're
right.
Like neon yellow. I get it.
It literally says what it is, yeah. And I've just never heard it said that way.
Not only is it high-vis, but it also encouraged me to add some neon yellow into the wardrobe.
I just thought it was construction worker's vest. I didn't realize that. But
they're high-vis.
But your way sounds,
professional?
The sexier, I suppose.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I got to put on a very sexy high-vis vest and a very sexy hard hat.
You weren't tempted to sing in the Navy, were you?
Hello, ladies. I got to go inside of Timmins Arena and see the upgrades they're making to Paladin Stadium. And I got to tell you, dude, it's going to be freaking sick Tell you what they did to the stadium. That it is still the intimate Timmons Arena that is a fantastic basketball arena because you're on the court, right? As a fan, that's fantastic. You're on the court. But this year, the seating will wrap all the way around. It is like full venues, arena style. So the seating goes all the way around, and there is a walking concourse that goes all the way around too. So you'll still come in the main entrance of Timmons Arena, but once you get into the gym, there is a walking concourse that goes all the way around, and the seating wraps all the way around, which I think is great because now, like last year, there was a little bit of seating on one end, and there was like a small student section on one end. And then on the other side, there were bleachers, but they were kind of back from the court a little bit, and it was kind of a sectioned off. Now it's 360 seats all the way around the court, and they're all the way up to the concourse, and they're right there on the basket, right? Like they're right on the sideline. I got the opportunity to get the behind-the-scenes private tour with our buddy Drew Ingraham. The assistant athletic director at Furman took me backstage to kind of let me get eyes on what the gym is shaping up to be. And I'm going to tell you, as a basketball dude, this is going to be a highlight venue. It is going to be a phenomenal venue. Got a chance to go. None of it's built in yet. It's all framework still because it's not going to be open this season. Furman, of course, is going to be playing their college basketball downtown at the Well this year. But it will be open for the 2025 season, and I got to tell you, I am freaking excited to see what this gym turns into. So they have luxury boxes up all the way around, and some of them are obviously for people who want to, sponsors who want to purchase a box, but they'll also have some that you can rent out to throw parties and events and whatnot. And those luxury boxes, dude, they're on the court. I was making a joke with Drew that if you're in a luxury box, you're going to be able to like reach over and drop a paper towel and it'll land on Dan Scott's head sitting courtside because it's on the court. It is absolutely incredible. This gym's going to be beautiful. And there's they're keeping the party deck. The party deck is now going to be on the side of the court. So when you're on the party deck, if you rent out the party deck or you just go to a game and go to the party deck, you can grab your brewskis, turn around, walk to the railing, and the railing's, again, right at the top of the seats that are vertical onto the court. There is not a bad spot to watch basketball in this gym. I will keep it a buck. When they told me that they were renovating Timmons Arena, I was like, you got a good stadium, man. Like, I understand you want to renovate, you want to upgrade. Let's keep it a buck. College athletics is not just about the athletes anymore. It's about the facilities. This is why you see what I call locker rooms arms race taking place around college football. There's an arms race regarding college sports because these athletes, they want to be wined and dined, right? Like when they come to your arena and your locker room and your facilities, they want to be able to see that the facilities and the amenities that you provide them with are top notch. We went to Clemson open house a couple of weeks ago. And I got a laugh when I was walking down the hallway. They took us from the cafeteria, the athlete cafeteria where they host most of the event. They took us to go meet Dabo in the practice facilities attached to the indoor practice field. And when we were walking down the hallway, they kind of take you on a behind-the-scenes tour, past the locker room, past the players' luxury lounge where all the players hang out after practices and whatnot. And one of the things that we walked by was there is a players-only barbershop in the Clemson football facility, right? And it is a full-sale barbershop, and it's gorgeous, dude. Like, it's beautiful.
When you say players-only, does that mean there's no barber there? The players actually
No, there is a there okay. is a right, someone right. on site. I don't know if okay. it's like—
So only the players can get their hair
cut there. Okay, it is a team barbershop, and it is— It's gorgeous, dude. Like, if it was a bro cave, you'd be thrilled about it if you were a Clemson fan. It is gorgeous. And so I was walking down the hallway with one of the other members of the media. And they, I guess it was their first time going to media open house at Clemson. And we walked by it, and the guy's like, well, this is why they got to charge so much for tickets, I guess. And I was like, dude, you think a barbershop is it? Think a barbershop is it? There are some of these schools that have full sale massage parlors, like, right? Like entire spas just for the football players. When you are looking at being a top-notch program, when players come in, they want to see that they are going to be living a life of luxury. That's why you got barbershops and you got spas and salons. That's why you got restaurants that are open almost 24/7 for these players that serve nicer food than has ever been placed on my kitchen table. And y'all, Rob Brown can cook, all right? Rob Brown can cook. I got a little bit of that Cajun magic in me. Ooh, I'm about to make a name for myself, all right? I can cook. The food that they put out, unbelievable. When we were there, they put out like a pecan-crusted glazed salmon filet. Some of the best damn fish I've ever had in my life. And I eat fish all the time. I was like, oh, dude, you should not be able to mass-produce this on demand. That's not all right. Players want to feel like the facilities that they are in are luxury. So I saw Timmins Arena and what they're doing to it, and I'm like, yep. Furman's about to have an easier time recruiting basketball players because this stadium is going to be beautiful when they are done. Texture said, Rob Brown, I guarantee. Yeah, I'm telling you, you gotta hit it with that Emma Lagasse. Bam! When you put that spice on a shot. Ooh. You know who cooks up something fancy in the kitchen with the sports flash? Chef Lonzo.
The Atlanta Braves knocked off the San Francisco Giants 1-0 in a 10-inning contest last night. Chris Sale worked 7 innings, giving up just 3 hits and striking out a dozen. But the win went to Raisel Iglesias, who went unhit with 4 Ks in 2 innings. Travis d'Arnaud knocked in Orlando Arcia from the Ghost Runners spot in the 10th for the win. The Braves are now a full game up on the Mets for second in the East and 7 back of Philly. College football AP Top 25 was released yesterday with very few surprises at the top. The Georgia Bulldogs are number 1, collecting 46 first votes, outpacing number 2 Ohio State with 15 and third place Oregon with only 1. Texas and Alabama round out the top 5. Make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on all the latest local and sports news. It's all Wire to Wire.